Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is great to be with you. I am Bart Winkler. This is the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You can be a part of it one of two ways. You can work your ass off, get a master's degree, and then be the executive producer of the show.
Wow, broke.
That's what Carlos did. Or you could simply pick up the phone and call us. Way less effort. Way less hardship. Way less money. And sometimes more airtime. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. The Chicago Sun-Times found a picture of Robert Prevost. Prevost? I think it's Prevost. Anyway, that's not his name anymore. That's not what we call him. We call him Pope Leo the 14th.
I call him L-Dog.
I call him L-Train.
I saw what you did there.
They found a picture of him at the 2005 World Series against the Astros wearing a White Sox jersey. And he's on like an old 2005 cell phone.
Photoshopped. He's still a Cubs fan to me, damn it.
It's just crazy that like this Pope's just been running around Chicago our whole life and now he's just the Pope. You know? Has he vacationed in Door County, Wisconsin? That's what a lot of people in Chicago do. He was a teacher in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, which is most famous for when people move to Wisconsin as athletes. Their social media team says, name these Wisconsin cities. Oconomowoc. Oh, it's like one of the biggest pet peeves I have.
Bless you.
And then radio guys do it when they're from out of town. They're like, I'm going to mispronounce words. And you're like, I'm from that city, and you're supposed to be rooting for my fan. I mean, like, that's one thing weird with sports radio is the easiest way to do sports radio is, like, locally, is if you're on the station that covers the teams that you've rooted for your whole life. But if you go somewhere else, certainly embrace those teams. And you can mention your own fandom and where you're from. I mean, you got to be real. But don't, like, do the jokey, like, how do you say the city that I'm living in because it's got three more O's than I'm used to and it's on, you know, it's French. Just, like, learn how to say it and then say it.
Two T's, Seattle.
Seattle? So, yeah, Pope Leo, White Sox fan. That was the big, I really think that was the biggest sports news of the day. I mean, it was the biggest news of the day. Well, why do you say, well, every TV station broke into it. It constitutes news to me. But then there was the debate about who he's a fan of. And if he's a White Sox fan, he got to see him when they were good. They stink now. Did they play today? I haven't checked the baseball score. I'm mad at baseball today because I had Bailey Ober on a fantasy team, and I didn't start him before they started today, so I'm pissed. And he did well for the Twins. And that means the Orioles lost again. Jeez. White Sox got beat 10-0 by the Royals. On the day you had a fan become the Pope, you can't even scratch a run? Come on, guys. Come on. NBA playoffs, just one game. And, you know, maybe that was for the best. Maybe that was for the best. NHL's pretty wild tonight. Capitals tied things up. They got a 3-1 win. Edmonton and Vegas are trading goals. Edmonton right now up 4-3. But the NBA, just one game, and no Steph Curry, and no problem for Minnesota. Actually, a little bit of a problem. Anthony Edwards got hurt, went to the locker room, did come back. He put up 20 points in the game. So he put up 20 points in the game. That would have changed the complexity of the series as well, certainly. But just one game, and it was a game that it wasn't crazy. And the game we had last night, the second game at least, wasn't crazy. So we'd probably prefer the games to be all that they were the last couple of nights. But maybe it's all right to take a little bit of a breather. We did have the Knicks beat the Celtics on Wednesday night, coming back from a 20-point deficit again. And then the Thunder won by 33, and the Timberwolves won tonight by 24. Because it's been a chaotic playoffs. It has been a chaotic playoffs. Through the first 20 games of the NBA playoffs, we have seen 5 comebacks of 20-plus or more points. The previous high in the play-by-play era, so this is still hard to believe, but the NBA did not start keeping track of what happened on every play until 1997. Like, it's out of bounds, and then it's a rebound, and they didn't do that. So that's what we have to go back to when we look at this. So since 1998, the previous high for comebacks that were at least 20 points was 3 back in 2017. Otherwise, it's been no more than 2. Most years, it's 1. Last year, it was 2. This year, it's 5. And there's still more basketball to be played. We're not done. We saw 5 game-winning shots in the final 10 seconds, including the first ever buzzer-beater dunk. The first ever buzzer-beater dunk. That was Aaron Gordon catching a missed jumper by Jokic, throwing down the dunk, which tied the series in game 4. We saw the Pacers down 7 go on an 8-0 run in the final 40 seconds of overtime to beat the Bucks in game 5, knock Milwaukee out of the playoffs on a Tyrese Halliburton layup with 1.3 seconds left to go. 2 days after that, we saw Jalen Brunson do it to Detroit, ending an 11-1 run with a pull-up 3 on the road, 4.3 seconds left. And then in round 2, we saw Aaron Gordon hit a 3-ball with 2.8 seconds left after Oklahoma City was up 3 and fouling. Chet Holmgren missed a pair of free throws at the line, because that's where you take them. And then Aaron Gordon knocked down the tray. And then Tyrese Halliburton did it again. Down by 3 with 12.4 seconds left. He had 2 free throws, made the first, missed the second, got a rebound, went back, hit a 3. Now, it should have been a jump ball at center court because the Pacers had 2 guys go into the lane, but alas. Alas. We've seen 24 road wins, including the first ever 4-0 sweep in game 1 of round 2. Warriors lost tonight, but road teams still hold a 6-2 record in the conference semifinals. And we've seen 16 games decided by 3 points or less. That's the most in a single playoffs in the last 10 years. And already the 5th most since 1998. And again, we've got a whole more than half of a second round to go, a championship round, and then the NBA Finals. So the predictability that this round has had a lot of times is gone. And now we get to see how things are going to play out here the next couple of nights. Again, Friday night's action will be between the Celtics, no, the Cavs and the Pacers. The Cavs have to have their guys back. They need Hunter. They need Mobley. They need Darius Garland. Joe Vardon of The Athletic says there's optimism that Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and DeAndre Hunter will all try to play in game three. Two league sources told The Athletic, I don't think he has a choice. One of the league sources told The Athletic, I don't think Garland has a choice. He has not played since game two in the first round. So the Cavs are going to be like, we know you're not 100%, but we need you. Because if we lose this game on Friday and we're down 3-0, we are not going to win this series. They're not. Tomorrow, I don't know if people in Cleveland are going to pull the, is this a must win? No, but it's a can't lose. That's a must win. They have to win that game. It's on the road against a Pacers crowd that is going to be every bit as rabid as that Knicks crowd. Game three, I've talked about this a little bit this week. Game three is always so fascinating because I think it's the most charged up, at least at the beginning of a game, that any crowd is at any point in that series. Even as you get deeper, like game five, game six, game seven, it can get charged up, don't get me wrong, but there's also like an underlying sense of nerves. And you have to fight through the nerves a little bit as a fan base. Game three, if you're down 0-2, this is it. We got to rally. If it's tied, let's go. And if you're up, if you get a game three and you're up, that means your team went on the road, won both games against the higher seeded opponent. And now you've got a chance to kind of like end the series. That's pretty massive. And that Pacer crowd, they come to play. The Pacer crowd have been one of the better crowds that I feel like I've seen in the NBA. It's a crowd that wants it. It's a crowd that, yeah, they think their team's good enough to be here, but they know they're being disrespected. And it's been a long time since they've been here. So they certainly want it, and it's certainly going to be a tough environment for Cleveland. They need all hands on deck. Denver is going to get a home game against the Thunder. That game will be tomorrow night, probably in the fourth quarter at this time. That series is split. I think that's a big one for the Nuggets. Because the Thunder, they look like the team that, okay, we lost game one. That's not going to happen again. I wouldn't be shocked if they won that series in five. Typically how it goes is Denver will get another one. It might be six. I don't think it goes seven. I think Denver's a worthy adversary, but I do think the Thunder are that good. So if Denver wants to extend the series or at least give themselves a chance, they're going to need to win on Friday night. We had a Bartometer tonight, as we do on every Thursday night. For now, it's going to move to Tuesdays, May 2nd. The Bartometer ranked which team would the NBA most want to see as its champion this year. Which team? You can get the full segment, Rewind feature, Odyssey app. We'll also have it as a podcast for you, but I'll tell you what the rankings were. Celtics were last. Nuggets were 7th. Cavs were 6th. Pacers were 5. Timberwolves 4, Warriors 3, Thunder 2, and the Knicks at number 1. Now, what do you think it would be? I did not ask the Bartometer this. I suppose I could right now, but it's already back in my car. And it may be home by now. I've done a new thing where I have my wife come pick it up. Just so that we know, I know that it's safe, even just being with me. We got to get in the garage, lock it down, because when we talk about the Bartometer after the fact, I turn it off, but I think it still listens, and I don't want it to take it out on you guys or you know, me. I don't want it to attack me. So you've got Toronto left. You've got the Panthers left. You've got Washington. You've got Carolina. You've got Vegas, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Dallas. What would be best for the NHL? What would like take the NHL. We talked about this in baseball, that I thought a Yankees-Dodgers series would actually be best for MLB to see what kind of ratings those will pull in. Now, that series only went five. But I think you need a Canadian team in the Stanley Cup. Best case scenario. Do you need two Canadian teams in the Stanley Cup? I think that would be bad. I think if Toronto gets in, and then they either play Winnipeg or Edmonton, it guarantees a first Stanley Cup champion from Canada since 93. But then you don't have that drama. And it looks like Canada and the United States are like sort of besties again. Not sure.
Yay!
I mean, I hope so. But a Canadian team in the Stanley Cup against a team from America in the Stanley Cup wouldn't be like as charged up as that Four Nations Cup was. But I think it would be better than if two Canadian sides played each other. I think the Maple Leafs, because they haven't won in forever.
Bingo, that's the one.
Would be good. The Capitals, they have Ovechkin, so that would be big. But they've won before. So it's got to be Toronto.
Yeah, if you're going to pick any Canadian team, it's going to be Toronto because of, you know, just the long and heartbreak that they've had there, that they haven't won since, what, 65? It feels like they're like the Jets of the NHL, that they haven't won basically since the 60s. I think it would be the Maple Leafs because Winnipeg is a good story. They have been almost wire-to-wire the best team in the NHL. They got the President's Cups, but I think even for Canada, Winnipeg is kind of up there. The Canadians would just be like, whatever, if they won. But, I mean, obviously, I think Canada will still be excited because, you know, a Canadian team needs to bring a cup eventually up to north of the border. But I think for general hockey fans, the series with the most intrigue would be the Toronto Maple Leafs going against... Now, here's the tough, because I actually think the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think that would be a great series just for hockey by itself, because you'll have the draw that Toronto is in terms of seeking their first Stanley Cup in eons, and then you have the Edmonton Oilers who lost last year in Game 7, and they got star power with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, so like that could be a compelling series outside of Canada as well, like if you're someone who just really likes hockey. So that'd be pretty cool. But if you're looking for that Canadian-American angle, then I think you're going to probably want the Dallas Stars and the Toronto Maple Leafs. The only thing with the Stars is they're not really that sexy of a team. Like, yeah, they have people that you know. Mikko Rantanen, that got traded twice.
Yeah.
He winds up going to Dallas. So, like, they got people that, you know, are recognizable, but I don't think they have any true, like, marketable stars that casual hockey fans are going to want to check into.
You got to get, like, use me as the guinea pig. You got to get a guy like me who is aware of hockey, but like me, not in this job. Because in this job, like, I am watching the end of Edmonton and Vegas right now, which if I was not on the air, I would not be watching it.
I would, actually. This is a good series.
I would not be watching it. I'd probably be in bed. Or out partying because I'm 40 and I'm cool.
And you know what? You say it's a good series. How good is it? Vegas just ties it up. It is 4-4. We are locked in on an even game in the third period. This is cool.
Yes, I'm glad I'm watching it. I'm glad I'm watching it. But if I wasn't, I'd probably be, you know, watching PBS or documentaries or something else.
I'd be three beers deep in the Call of Duty lobby.
No. I don't know what you guys do for fun, but I try to become more learned. And I try to sometimes what's fun is I'll just like pick a topic and then I'll like just study it just to be smarter.
Yeah, I don't believe that at all.
The topic's usually like, how many beers can I drink in one sitting there before I fall over? So yeah, I mean, obviously, a Canadian team in the Stanley Cup would be best. For a guy like me, I think Edmonton. Yeah, you know, watching two Canadian teams would be cool, though.
It would be, and you know what the problem is? is I don't think any of these American teams are compelling. Like I said, Dallas is a nice team, but there's really no hatred for them. There's no adoration for them. So like Dallas would be like a whatever choice. The Panthers, we just saw them win the Stanley Cup. The Hurricanes have always been lingering around. Like I actually think they're a couple years removed from a Stanley Cup. So it's like none of these teams. And then Ovechkin, like you mentioned, Ovechkin, yeah, he got the record this year passing Gretzky, but like. So what? Gretzky still eclipses him pretty much everywhere else. If Gretzky was, you know, not giving assists half the time, he probably would have had like 3,000 goals. The Capitals, again, we just saw them win a Stanley Cup as well. So, look, there's no juice for any of the American teams. I honestly do think that Canadian versus Canadian matchup and Winnipeg versus Toronto might be the best bet.
888-710-4ISN. Again, we can't ask the Bartle meter. I took it home. 888-710-4476. Plenty more to get into throughout the night. And, of course, always want to hear from you. Well, come on back. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look into my crystal ball. Okay? Bartometer's at home. Screw that thing. Never liked it anyway. Don't tell him I said that. I'm going to look into my crystal ball and try to figure out how these NBA series are going to go. I'm going to try to figure out how these series are going to go. I've said this before. I fancy myself as somebody that thinks they know the NBA better than other people. I fancy myself at that. I think I know the playoffs. I think I know how they work. I can feel like, oh, of course the Thunder are going to blow out the Nuggets in game two. Of course the Timberwolves are going to win tonight with no Steph Curry. But everything else has been upside down. That's why this postseason's been so fun. So let me try to figure out what the hell is going to happen here. All right. Thunder and Nuggets. Series is tied one apiece in the West. I think the Thunder end up winning that series in six or less. And I would feel pretty good about saying five. At some point, this new coach has to catch up with them. They've been working overdrive. They win seven against the Clippers. Thunder had an easy run against the Grizzlies. Did have to play a close game to seal it. But because of how weird game one ended and how much of a failure it was, I feel like five is very possible. I'll say there's about an 80% chance they win in five. They would win at home then. And then maybe a 15% chance it goes six. So I feel like the Thunder are advancing. Warriors and Timberwolves. With Steph, I think the Warriors could have got this one. I still believe Minnesota would have won tonight. And then Golden State goes back and wins game three. So without Steph, what I think happens is the Warriors are going to come out hot on Saturday night. They're going to find a couple of things that work. They're going to feel pretty good about it. And then Minnesota's going to take control. So maybe they still split. Steph Curry comes back. If he comes back in game five, that's a little different. I'm going to say Steph does come back at some point, but Minnesota I am taking to win. I want to say seven almost. I want to say seven. I can see where the Warriors win one of these games in Golden State. And then the Timberwolves go up 3-2. Steph comes back. They win that game. But then the Timberwolves win game seven by like 28 points or something. The Cavs and Pacers, Cavs are in a must win. Cavs are in a must win. Oh, man, they got to come back and win, right? Doesn't it feel like one of the Cavs or Celtics will come back? And I think what's happening right now is a lot of Cavs fans are nervous. And realistically, they should be. We don't know that everyone's going to come back healthy. They're hurt. Even if the guys do play that are hurt, they're hurt. So we don't know what's going to happen there. But the Celtics fans, I don't see that from them. I see a lot of, oh, it's no big deal. We got it. We got it. The Celtics won 61 games. They won the championship last year. They're not going to shoot 25% from three throughout this entire playoffs. Trust me, they're not. I've seen the Celtics enough. They're not. I'm going to say the Cavs come back in seven, and I'm going to say the Knicks win in six. So I'm going Thunder in five, Timberwolves in seven, Cavs in seven, Knicks in six. That sounds good. You like those, Ortiz?
It's very off-putting that you've called me Ortiz. You've never done that.
Ortiz? I never call you Ortiz?
I've gotten completely derailed off of your question. Do I like your picks?
Well, because I have I run with a lot of Carloses.
No, you don't.
Sure, I do.
I don't know how many Carloses you know, and I know you run with none of them.
How many Carloses do I know?
Like, one. Actually, it's me.
Carlos. Yeah, you're it. You're it.
Oh,
I think
please.
I played soccer with a Carlos once.
That I believe. And then you guys, made him feel bad for, neglecting work, and he went back to landscaping.
Well, yeah, no. Come on.
It's okay if I say it. That being said,
I had like five jokes that I thought about, and I thought, I like my job.
Yeah, tell me off air. Let's go. I do like Knicks in six. There's no way it's going to be a sweep. New Yorkers are going to have to sweat it out. But I think Boston already went down too deep of a hole. And you know what? They're soft. The Celtics are absolutely just soft. They got punched in the mouth twice. So I really think that the Celtics, other than that and taking a million three-pointers, I think they got to get exposed. They don't really have a tough exterior. I think if they go and they get punked in MSG Game 3, then obviously we're looking at a sweep. But give me Knicks in six. I think that's fair because they did win the championship, so I don't want to completely disrespect them. As far as the Cavs and the Pacers, I would love for the Cavs to come back because, like you, the Pacers are absolute frauds. But I just think there's too many injuries right there, and they're not getting all those bodies back. So I'm good with Pacers in five. Maybe the Cleveland will get one because they've had a great regular season. Kenny Atkinson really is a great coach, and he should have never been fired by the Nets to begin with. But too little, too late. A day late and a dollar short, as they say. So I will take the Pacers in five. Can you give me your Western picks again?
Yeah, I think the Thunder might actually be able to close this in five.
Yeah, we're good there. There's no X's and O's that needs to be breakdown.
And then Timberwolves and Warriors is tough. What's going to happen with Steph? I think he eventually comes back. I think they find a way to win a game without him. But I feel like this goes seven, and then Minnesota kind of wins a game seven like they won game two tonight with or without Curry.
All right, thank you for telling me because I believe it's T-Wolves in five. I don't think the Golden State Warriors are going to sniff another game.
Oh, wow. So if they're down 3-1, Steph's going to be reevaluated on Wednesday.
Yeah, the reevaluation would be like, hey, we're pretty much cooked. Let's look toward next season.
Huh. I'm curious about Marco Belletti now that we talked to him last night and he was super charged up, groined up, as I say. I think the Knicks are going to pull this out in six. Are you a day after your complete like heart stoppage? Are you feeling better or worse?
I feel better. I don't feel like I'm going to have a stroke. That's a plus. I needed to calm myself down. So that's a plus. I brought the blood pressure down. Have I come to my senses? No. Knicks in a sweep.
Now you're on sweep?
Yep. Four. They're done.
Four.
They're done.
Well, if they win game three, then they're winning game four.
And I think they're winning game three. So this is over.
They just seem to have no fight in them.
Exactly. And that, look.
When did that happen?
I think it's always been there. I think last year was the anomaly. I tried to give them credit for last year. And you go, look, you win a title. I can't keep calling you soft. You won a title. You face whatever adversity you face, and you came out on top. I'm going to give you credit. I thought they were past it. My mistake. They're not. They're soft. They're mentally weak. And they can't handle it. And you could see it in that fourth quarter that they wanted no part of it. That's all I keep replaying in my head was the Knicks wanted the game and the Celtics were looking at the clock like it was a miracle. How much time we got left? Can we just call this thing now? They want to go home and the Knicks are never going to let them do that. And because they've come back from the deficits they've come back in and because, not just for the Knicks players, I think for the crowd, because like the home crowd, and that was where my mind went last night. It could be a detriment because you go down and all of a sudden all that energy becomes nervous energy. It's not. Not only is the Garden crowd going to want blood, but even if they're down 12, they're never going to waver because the Celtics are soft and the Knicks have shown you that they can come back. So I don't see the Celtics coming out of New York. It's over and done. Four.
I need to get some things off my chest about the Boston Celtics. So I'm going to compose my thoughts here. Because this is a team that has knocked my team out a couple of times. And the version of the team that they're putting up against the Knicks, I would have loved to have seen that squad lined up against the Milwaukee Bucks. So I got a few words for my old boys in green as they look for banner 19, but don't really seem to care too much. If they raised an NBA Cup banner, would that count as banner 19? 888-710. Right now, let's get an update from Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti. You heard him on the updates. He's a Knicks fan, an optimistic one. He can't think in his deepest of downs that they're thinking a sweep. Although, if the Knicks do win game three, what kind of Celtics team is going to show up in game number four? For me, personally, and I really, 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 really do have to talk about my fandom and how it relates to a lot of these teams in the East because it's affected how I feel about these teams in the East. I don't think, this is a kind of a existential thing I have here. I can talk Celtics-Knicks with you, but I also like to talk about it from my perspective. As a fan, my perspective is I've rooted against the Celtics a lot. And the one thing that sucks right now is that my kid likes the Celtics because that was the team he was on. And so I'm watching the Celtics lose to the Knicks and I'm all pumped up. And then I know he's at home watching it and I know he's getting all sad and he gets into these games. He likes the Bucks too. That's good. But come on, man. I got to like lie to him already. I've already lied to him enough. I got to lie to him about this. The Celtics, I don't understand where last year came from. I mean, last year they took care of the Heat in five, took care of the Cavs in five, took care of the Pacers. They were on a little magical run. Nope. Sweep. And then beat the Mavs in five. The year before that, they lost the conference finals to the Heat, which I don't think they should have at all. Oh, remember that one? Remember that when they were down 3-0 and then they did come back? Yeah. Yeah. They were down 3-0. They came back. They came back and everyone's like, oh my God, they're going to be the first team to ever come back from 3-0. because they put themselves in that position. They were getting rewarded for bad behavior. They were gonna be cherished for the situation they got themselves in. Hey, yeah, guys, I didn't drown. Well, yeah, well, you're the one that went into the deep end wearing a suit made of cement. It's hard to get back up from that, dude. Yeah, maybe could have thought of something better there. But still, the year before that, they lost to the Warriors. They lost to the Nets. They lost in the conference finals. They lost in the conference semis. It's just been over and over and over a team coming up short. And then finally last year, they won. So was that the team? Because I did think that was the team. Banner 18, I thought that was the team. What I've said about the Celtics throughout the year this year is there is no team that I trust more to turn it on than Boston. So Boston can be down, and then they can turn it on. No team can do that as well as Boston can. Every other team struggles, you think, well, they're maybe bad. But with Boston, they do have a switch. They can turn it on. This is going to be the ultimate test of that, because now they're down 0-2. They're down 0-2 to a Knicks team who is playing their hearts out. They are playing their ass off. But are they in this position because they're coming back? Or are they in this position because the Celtics are playing bad? Or is it a little of column A and a little of column B? Hey, what do you think is going on here? Are the Celtics losing or the Knicks winning? Well, Bart, it's a little bit of both. Yeah, maybe I should ask better questions then, I guess. Game one, the Celtics went up 75-55. After that, they shot 23% from the field and 21% from three. And 28 of their 39 shot attempts were three-pointers. They had six turnovers. Game two, they went up 73-53. They then shot 17% from the field, 14% from three. Half of their shots were from three. And they went 8 minutes and 20 seconds without a field goal. What is that team? What is that team? There's been a lot of teams that wish you would have played like that against them. You're going to do it against the Knicks? Credit the Knicks, man. Staying alive, scrappy. And you knew after game one, they were down 20 and won the game. You thought, well, if they are in that position again, they're going to be believers that they can come back. And they were able to come back. Joe Mazzulla, you heard him just there. They didn't call a timeout. They just essentially, they had a play. That field goal they made was Jason Tatum running coast to coast with a dunk. And he thought, I'm going to do that again. That's what you're going to do? This team, that's what you're going to do? Okay, so Ananobi's like, well, I'll defend him this time now. I'm in. And then Bridges is like, oh, just kind of slink behind him. Good defense, block, game over. What are you doing? This Celtics team last year was so dominant. It was a foregone conclusion that they were going to win the championship. This Celtics team this year, even though they did not finish first in the East, they're on a collision course with Cleveland where everybody's going to take Boston to win that series. That's how it was going to go. And now you've got a team that doesn't even look like, they certainly don't look like the team that won last year. They don't look like a team that won 61 games. They don't look like a team that even knows each other. They look like an all-star team thrown together. And they're playing like one too with all this three-point shooting. Again, I got to credit Colin Cowherd. I thought I saw this. I thought this was the dumbest thing I've ever seen for 4 seconds. And then I thought it was brilliant because the Celtics rely on analytics. The Knicks are using manalytics. They're playing like men. Now I'm back to that might be dumb again. But it works. It works. So what kind of Celtics team are we going to get in game three? Because right now, I can see either. I can see a Celtics team that just is kind of resigned to Cancun. And I can see a Celtics team that Because if I was a Celtics fan, all I would say is, we're not going 15 for 60. We're not going 10 for 40. We're a team that takes a lot of threes because it's analytically better, and we make them. So if I was a Celtics fan, I probably still would have some optimism, some hope. And that's why Madison Square Garden needs to be as loud as ever. People aren't paying $800 to get in and be quiet. So, Saturday afternoon, man, it's going to be a nice day by me. I'm going to be locked in front of that television. You got to be. You got to be. 888-710-4ISN. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.